There's an activity that we do each day, all throughout the day, that is common to all of us, and that is we trust. From the moment we get up until the time when we go to bed, there are a number of individuals that we trust throughout the day, and there are a number of things that we trust throughout the day. It's a common mental activity that we engage in. We go into the kitchen and we trust that the appliances are going to work. We trust that the food that we eat is going to be good for us. When we go to the store and we buy something, we trust that that food is healthy. We put gas in our car and we trust that it's gas and not something else. We pay our bills. We trust that the electricity is going to be there when we need it. There are individuals we trust at work. We trust our coworkers to do their job. We're going to do ours. We trust them to do theirs. There are individuals, there are things all throughout the day that we trust. We're going to talk this morning about trusting in the Lord. And it is a major theme that comes from the book that we are currently studying in the adult Bible class, and that is the book of Isaiah. And if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12 in our scripture reading, we're going to look this morning at a very, very important topic, and that is trusting in the Lord. A lot of times we talk about trusting in the Lord. It's something that we've mentioned before, but this morning I want to do two things. I want to talk about the importance of trusting in the Lord and not ourselves. But I also want us to look at these passages in the book of Isaiah and discuss in a very practical way how that's done. In a very personal and practical and daily way, how do we trust in the Lord? It's easy to just say, well, you know, we need to trust in the Lord. But how does that look like on a daily basis when we're at school, when we're out with others, when we're at work? And it's a great message for us today. And we've got to learn to do that. We've got to learn to trust in the Lord. Verse 2, I will trust and I will not be afraid. There are a number of good themes in the book of Isaiah, and one of them is trusting in the Lord. We see a problem here in Isaiah that many people are not trusting in the Lord, and we have the same problem today. And we've got to be mindful of this, or we're going to find the same problem in our own personal lives. In fact, both this morning and this evening have the same theme to it. This evening we're going to look at Abraham and Sarah in our Bible couples series. They were a couple that learned to trust in the Lord. We've got to get back to this fundamental theme. And we've got to understand that a lot of times we think that we might be trusting in the Lord, and we talk about that. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. I trust in the Lord. But what happens is when the rubber meets the road, when it comes down to that very second when we're trying to make a decision about something, a lot of times we do what we want. And we don't trust in the Lord. So it's a fundamental theme that I'd like for us to look at this morning. And I hope that all of us will leave this morning with an encouraged attitude to trust in the Lord. It's so fundamental. It's all throughout the day. When you think of the word trust, you probably think of some things that go along with that. What does that mean? You trust in someone or you trust in something. The word dependence comes to mind. You have a dependence on them or it, or you rely. That's another word. Reliance, dependence. Confidence, that's another word that comes up. We have confidence in someone or in something. When you came here this morning in your car, you trusted that the car was going to work. You trusted that the car was going to hold together as you're riding along. Let me ask you something. When you went out this morning to get in your car, did you check every bolt to make sure that it was tight? Did you do that? Every screw, every bolt, every connection, did you do that? No, you just got in the car and turned the key and you take off. You trust that it's all going to kind of hold together there, right? You didn't personally check every little thing, did you? No. We do a lot of things just based upon trust. You buy your food at the store, you don't go in the back and say, now where was this grown? I want to talk to the person who picked it. Can you get that person on the phone? I need to talk to the person who picked it. And then I need to talk to the person who did this and talk to the person who did that. No, you don't do that. You just buy it, you go home and eat it. So there's a lot of trust, isn't there, in life. We do that all throughout the day. How do we do that with regard to God? How do we do that with regard to God? So this morning I want us to look at a great theme that comes out in the book of Isaiah. When you're looking at the book of Isaiah, there are some words that come up that teach this idea of trust. First of all, depending upon the version you're using, trust is used some 17 times. Another word that's used a lot is wait on the Lord. We're going to look at that this morning. Believe. The word confidence is used 3 times. One of the main themes that Isaiah is trying to teach is we've got to, when we're in a situation, something is happening, we've got to trust in the Lord. And Isaiah is about people who claim to be God's people and they're not doing that. They're just not doing it. See, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to just say, oh yeah, I trust in the Lord. But when it comes time for crunch time, many times, those who claim to be God's people aren't doing that. Let me ask you this. What do you do when you hear that you've been diagnosed with a very serious illness? What do you do on that day? You've just come from the doctor's office. What do you do? Okay. What do you do when your boss says, well, you know, I'm going to need to let you go. I need to let you go. What do you do? What do you do when it's a major event? What do you do when it's a crisis? What do you do when it's a major problem? What do you do? When it's crunch time, when the rubber meets the road, when it's right there and you've got to do something, what do you do? And we've got to trust in the Lord. Or you hear something is bad with regard to a family member or some major problem or some major issue. What do you do? That's when you read the book of Isaiah, you're reading about people who are presented with crises in their life. And often they don't trust in the Lord. They've got other plans and other ideas and what they think and what they feel. And they're just kind of scrambling around to do kind of what's on their heart. And Isaiah is saying, look, guys, you got to get back to trusting in the Lord. There's going to be major issues. Decisions and choices. Our young people here this morning, what do you do when you're trying to decide with regard to dating someone or marrying someone or getting a job or moving out or buying a house or doing this or doing that? What do you do? Well, you know, I just kind of make some choices. Okay. But those choices, those decisions, what are they based upon? What's the bigger picture? Is it something in trusting in the Lord or what we have in our own mind? Isaiah also talks about this matter of don't be afraid and don't fear. Okay? You've just gotten back from the doctor's office and it's pretty bad news. Okay? What do? Do you fear? Do you get afraid? Do you slump into some problem or do you handle it in a different way? You've just lost your job. You've just been given this bad news or that bad news. Do you fear and get afraid or do you do something else? It's very real, very real. And Isaiah says that if we will trust in the Lord, there will be peace, there will be salvation. I could have put the word comfort up here. That shows up a lot toward the end of the book. But we've got to learn to make some decisions. And we've got to learn to have a confidence and an assurance and a dependence upon the Lord when those challenging moments come in life. Because like we see in the book of Isaiah, and even like we see today, some people who claim to be Christians and they claim to be God's people, they fall apart because they're not really trusting in the Lord. And a lot of times they'll just quit. So we're going to look at the theme this morning of trusting in the Lord. Now, why did Isaiah bring up this matter of trusting in the Lord? Well, they weren't. They were not trusting in the Lord. So let's go back and just take a brief review. Turn back with me to chapter 1 of Isaiah. Let's just briefly review some things that they were trusting in if they were not trusting in the Lord. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. I'm just going to highlight a few things here. And also remember that we're looking at some passages here in Isaiah. Of course, you'll need to look at the background in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings. You can get the bigger economic picture, the political picture, the military picture of what's going on here by looking at Chronicles and Kings. But I just want to notice a few things. They were not trusting in the Lord. Well, what were they trusting in? Well, turn back to Isaiah chapter 1. Some of them were still going to the temple and they were worshiping God just like we're in the church building here today. They were going to the temple, chapter 1, and they were raising up their hands to pray to God and they were in the temple, but there was sin in their life. And so they're very religious. They're still going to the temple, but they're full of sin in their lives. Okay, they're still praying, they're still offering up the sacrifices, and you know how we sing and pray and take the Lord's Supper and go through the five acts of worship. They were going through all of that, but they weren't trusting in the Lord. They were outwardly religious, but they had sin in their lives. You can turn to chapter 2, verse 5. Some of them were very worldly. They were acting just like the world, and they were engaged in the idols of the world, and some of them were proud. They were very materialistic minded. If you go back and look at this period of time, which is in chapter 1 and verse 1, Isaiah mentions these four kings. These four kings run roughly from 790 down to 680, about 110 years. If you look at the time period, especially in the earlier days of Uzziah and Jotham, they're wealthy, they've got money. They've conquered some other nations around them. They're politically strong. They're militarily strong. Assyria is not as strong as it will be later at this time. And so Judah's doing great. Look at chapter 3. Some of the women are dressed really nicely and they're walking around in their nice clothes. The leaders, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 and 4, they're corrupt. The ladies are walking around in really nice clothes, but they're not trusting in the Lord. And so they've got money, they've got things, they're doing great, you know. Especially around 790 down to about 740, long in there, boy, things are going great. Isn't that like today, right? Got my big house and got my nice car and got my big screen TV. Might even have a swimming pool out back. And I've got this and I've got that. Plenty of money in the bank. All that kind of thing. And so people begin to gravitate toward the material rather than trusting in the Lord. You can turn to chapter 5, skip over a very positive chapter on chapter 4. Talking about the remnant that will be saved, those who are following the Lord, that would be chapter 4. But coming back to chapter 5, you've got people are oppressing other people, the poor, they run in roughshod over the poor. There's drunkenness among some of them, lack of knowledge, trusting in their own human wisdom. They reject God's law. We don't have time to listen to God's word. We don't need to do that. And other sins are listed there. These woes. But hey, we got money and we've got things and we're doing well. Turn to chapter 6, verse 10. Isaiah is told that some of them are going to have hardened hearts, and when he goes to preach to them, they're not going to listen. Oh, but they're religious. They're still coming to the temple. But preacher, don't be preaching to me. I just want to come up there to the temple and go through the motions with sin in my life. Don't be, you know, stepping on my toes. So some of them would have hardened hearts. In chapter 7 and 8, when we come down to the time of Ahaz, and they're being attacked by Syria and Israel, or Ephraim, he's not going to trust in the Lord. He's scared, and he's afraid, and he's unbelieving. He won't believe. Isaiah encourages him, chapter 7 and verse 9, believe. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. And so we studied, and Jeff took us through this material, where he ended up trusting in Assyria rather than in the Lord. And we come on down toward the end of chapter 8 and verse 19. They didn't want to listen to God's law. They wanted to hear other kinds of things. Seek unto the wizards and the spirits, but not to God's law. So that's a little bit of the background. And it's people who are claiming to be God's people, but when the rubber meets the road, and when it comes time for something that is very stressful, and it's a difficult situation. Here's a foreign invading army, for example, Ahaz. When I've got to go into my room and make some choices, I'm going to go with Assyria. And so, young people, you're going to be sitting in a situation in your room somewhere, or in your whatever your world is, and you're going to have to make a decision there. Do we go with trusting in the Lord and what He wants for us, or what I think or feel, or what my friends are saying on Instagram or TikTok, or what I'm getting on my phone? Let me ask you this. Do you trust the Lord more than your phone? Do you trust the Lord more than your phone, or do you trust the phone more than the Lord? Something to think about. Okay? Who do we spend more time with? Who do we spend more of this attitude of dependence upon? Am I more dependent upon the Lord or my phone? You turn to chapter 9. Some of them were proud, and of course, sinfulness comes in there again. Pride is a big problem. And in chapter 10, mistreating people shows up there again. Again, just taking a brief survey. But it's enough to let you know that people are going through the motions, but when it comes time for a crisis or a major type of decision, let's go with what we think or feel. And so, brethren, this morning the encouragement is to trust in the Lord. So what we're going to do for the rest of the lesson is we're going to look at these trust passages. Turn with me now to chapter 12. Let's start looking at these trust passages, and let's learn what it really means to trust in the Lord. Not just give lip service to that, but how does it actually play out at work, at school, in the community, or whatever's coming up in our life. Information that we've been given, some news that we've been given, some announcement that we now have been told about. How do we deal with this? Well, first of all, in Isaiah chapter 12, we need to be facing things in life where we're not going to have fear. We're going to have peace in the face of trouble. There will be troubling news. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world that has sin. We live in a world that has disease. That's the world we live in. And when we get something difficult, we need to face it without fear, but with peace in our lives. God is going to take care of this. God is going to help me through this. God wants this for me, and He's going to help me through this. Isaiah 12 verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. So number one, what does trust look like? I'm not going to be afraid. If I'm really trusting in the Lord, I'm not going to be afraid. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, I'm scared about this. I'm not sure about that. I'm bothered by this. I'm bothered by that. And we go through all of that. Read the verse again. It says, I'm going to trust and not be afraid. That's how I know that I'm really trusting in the Lord. But people get afraid and they get scared and then they start doubting and then they start becoming unfaithful. And then pretty soon they're not being the Christian that they need to be. Turn with me to Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. When I'm really trusting in the Lord, there's not fear in my life. Isaiah 26, 1, in that day, these are chapter 25, 26, and 27, I like to call the three songs of the redeemed. Three songs here. Here's the second one. In the day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. Underscore that. Are we keeping faith each day and not just playing a game, but we're actually a faithful individual? Verse 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in Jehovah forever. For in Jehovah, even Jehovah is an everlasting rock. We're going to talk about this later. The reason we can trust in the Lord is because he's a rock and he doesn't move. Man is all over the place. God doesn't go anywhere. But look at what that verse says. It says that we will be held in perfect peace because he trusts in the Lord. No fear and peace. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? I'm not sure about this. And what do you think about that? And people spend their days like that. And they're so consumed with that kind of thing that you'll find that they can't get good things done for the Lord because they're so consumed with fear and being afraid and doubt and depression. We can't get out and do good things for the Lord because we're consumed. We really don't trust in the Lord. So, number one, it means that we're going to live a life without being afraid and with peace in our life. It also means that we're going to have confidence to follow His Word, not our own actions. Turn with me to chapter 30. We're going to be making decisions all throughout life. Do we go by what the Scripture says, or do we go by what we think or feel or what society says? Trusting in the Lord means that we're going to have the confidence to follow God's Word. For it is a rebellious people, Isaiah 39, lying children. By the way, this is not bad people out in the world. This is those who are claiming to be God's people. So let's see what they're asking for. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of Jehovah, that say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. We just want positive preaching. We don't want any negative preaching. Somebody said last week, and I kind of appreciate the compliment, but somebody said, that was a fire and brimstone sermon, the one about remember Lot's wife. I'll take that as a compliment. We need some fire and brimstone from time to time. Read that verse. People want all positive, PMA, positive mental attitude. Can't we just have some sweet, syrupy, you know, sugary message every week that makes us feel good? So prophesy into us smooth things, things that we like to hear. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want truth. We just want a message that makes us feel good. Wherefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness, and rely thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, and so forth. Look at verse 15. For thus says the Lord of Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, a common description of him throughout the book. In returning and rest shall you be saved, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. You don't want that. You don't want to trust in me and follow my word. What you want, verse 9 and 10, is all these nice, positive PMA messages. We could have, verse 15, quietness, like I just mentioned, the peace and the quietness and the peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4. We read that passage a lot, and yet, brethren go out being quite alarmed all the time. It doesn't seem like they're at peace. So we have to have confidence in God's word. We have to trust in God's word. But look at verse 12. They were trusting in their oppression and their perverseness. Let's get back to trusting in the Lord. Turn over to chapter 32 and verse 17 with regard to confidence. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, when we're living right, quietness and confidence. That's what we need in our lives. But it comes from trusting in the Lord. It also means that we don't rely upon our own might or that of others. Psalm 31, verse 1. I appreciate our military. I appreciate all who currently serve in the military here and who have served in the past. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for your service. But this nation does not exist by just pure military might. We exist or do not exist by God. Well, look at our economy. And look at how we've got the biggest military in the world. And look at our great nation. And look at what we can make. We can put a man on the moon. And we can do this and we can do that. And so people start trusting in themselves. This passage of Scripture involves a time where Judah is trusting in Egypt rather than in God. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek Jehovah. Again, I appreciate all of our men and women in the armed forces. But it starts with God first. And there are some who have this attitude that because we're all this and we're all of that, and even if we're not quite militarily strong enough, here comes Assyria and we need a little help, a little extra help, we'll run down to Egypt. As we're going to see in a minute when Rabshakeh starts talking to Hezekiah and his people, he realizes you can't rely on Egypt. Even he realized that. An ungodly man. Trusting in the Lord does not mean that we trust in the all-powerful United States of America. Okay. God has blessed us with a great nation. But we've got to quickly get back to trusting Him. And this matter of one nation under God does not just need to be some flippant thing that we, you know, one nation under God. But people don't mean it. We've got to mean it. And it's on our money. In God we trust. Really, it's all over our money. But is that actually what is going on? In many places, it's not. It's all over our money. In God we trust. And yet, many people do not follow His word. I'm glad it's on our money. And I'm glad we have a military. And I'm glad that we say, one nation under God. I want us to continue saying that. But we've got to mean these things. And we've got to not rely upon or trust in chariots because they are very strong. Nobody's stronger than God. Trusting in God means that we're not afraid of man's intimidation. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 36 when Sennacherib had come into Judah around 701 BC and had taken a number of different towns. And he's marched his army up to the walls of Jerusalem and he sends one of his commanders out, Rabshakeh, and he is spewing his propaganda outside the walls. And it's basically this speech: don't trust in God. Don't trust in Hezekiah. Don't trust in God. That's his speech. Isaiah 36:4. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein you trust? Underscore that in your Bible. What is trust? It's confidence. But he's going to raise the question, who is your confidence and trust in? Now, I put man's intimidation because Rabshakeh is saying, look, you guys need to give up. Just give up and come over to our side. And later, in the next chapter, chapter 37, Hezekiah, verse 14, is going to go to God in prayer. And he's going to trust in God and he's going to pray to God. And in chapter 37 and verse 21, God's going to give an answer. You trust in me and I'll save you on this occasion. And he did. Isaiah 37:36, the angel of Jehovah went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185. And when the men rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead. And Sennacherib takes his army and goes home. But what is the message in chapter 36 verse 4? Don't trust in God. And we have that today in our world. Our young people are being pressured with that. Oh, the Bible's not the Word of God. And we're all here by evolution and we didn't get here by God. Don't trust in that silly, foolish, you know, religious talk. Trust in science. Hey, I'm all for science, by the way. There is good science. Science is simply, in fact, science is God-given. Science is the study of the natural world. It's a very good principle. But the way it's turned into is science is God and the pronouncements of science are now God. Science itself is a very good discipline. In fact, there are a number of brethren who work in the scientific field. I have some nieces and nephews that work in the science field. I've got a niece that's a microbiologist. That's an awesome field. An awesome field. And young people, if you want to go in and use your God-given mind to go into the realm of science, do it. But what's going on is it's the false science, the false pronouncements of individuals that have become rule over everything else. Look at verse 5. Rabshakeh. I say, thy counsel and strength for the war are but vain words. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou hast rebelled against me? That is a question, verse 5, that you need to underscore in your Bible and ask yourself every day. Who are you trusting? Rabshakeh is saying, don't trust in Hezekiah and your God. Behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt. Now that is true. When you go down there and try to trust in Egypt, that's not going to help you. And by the way, Egypt did not. Egypt, chapter 37, verse 36, was not who smote those Assyrian soldiers. It was the angel of the Lord. So he's right. You're not gonna get any help from Egypt. Verse 7. But if you say unto me, we trust in Jehovah our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? And has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. And that's what's going on even to this day. Don't trust in God. Come over to our side and look at all the benefits that you'll get if you'll come over to the side of the world. But we're going to have confidence in God and we're going to pray, and that's what saved Jerusalem on this occasion. Don't listen to the intimidation. Don't listen to the outsiders. Don't listen to the ones who are saying, your God cannot help you. We're not going to trust in our own works. We've got to be very careful about this, especially in a nation that makes a lot of things. And I'm glad that we live in a very powerful nation that can make a lot of things. But we need to be careful that we do not trust in what we can make with our hands. They shall be turned back. They shall be utterly put to shame that trust in graven images that say unto molten images, you are our gods. And whether it's money or whether it's things or buildings or look at this and look at that, look at these tall buildings that we can make. We've got to always put God first. And I'm glad that we can make things. In fact, there are people in this country that make a lot of good things that are helping people in the medical field and other areas of life. But we don't trust in things that we make. And what does it mean to trust in the Lord? We're not going to trust in our own lifestyle. This is very important for us today. Rather than following the Word of God, we're just following, many people are just following what's in their heart. Look at Isaiah 47, verse 10. For you have trusted in thy wickedness. You have said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and there is none else besides me. What's going on is, oh, I don't want to hear what the Bible says about homosexuality. I want to believe what I want to believe on that, what my heart says about that. And that's what's going on today. People get a lifestyle, and then, well, this is the way it's going to be. Well, and then you bring up the Word of God. Well, friend, over here in Romans 1, verses 24, 25, and 26, homosexuality is condemned. Well, you know, I don't follow that Bible stuff. I want to live the way I want to live. And it may not be that for us, it could be something else. I am, and there is none else besides me. Okay. So, when each person becomes their own God, then the whole thing falls apart. But you've trusted in your wickedness. You've trusted in your heart. Look at that. You have said in thy heart. This happens all the time today, brother. You try to bring up Bible matters with people and they say, well, in my heart, I just feel in my heart, just deep down in my heart, we're trusting in ourselves. What does it mean to really trust in the Lord? To have confidence in what the Word of God says and to believe that regardless of what I feel. You see how when the rubber meets the road, trusting in the Lord may look a little different than what a lot of people think. But that's why we want to have this lesson. Look at Isaiah 59, the great chapter that often gets quoted with regard to sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:1, the well-known passage there, 59:1-2. God, it's not that God can't hear us. Our sins have separated. But look at verse 4. None sueth in righteousness, none pleads in truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They're just trusting in vanity. They're empty, sinful lives. That's what they're putting their confidence in. We can't do that. Turn with me to Isaiah 50 and verse 10. It means to go to the Lord for His guidance and His light. This happens a lot today. Young people, you're going to need some guidance from time to time in your life. You're going to have to choose between A and B. Pray about that. And then turn to the Word of God. And if there's something in the Word of God that sheds light on that, follow that and go with that. Not what I think or feel. We go to God's light for guidance. Do we really trust this when it comes to things like relationships, marriage, parenting, relationships? Do we really trust this? We need to. And in Isaiah chapter 50, in verse 10, "Who is among you that fears Jehovah, that obeys the voice of his servant? He that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of Jehovah and rely upon his God." And there are times when we may be walking in darkness and we need some help. We need some light, some truth. And it's going to come by turning to God. Not by what society says, not by what the professor says in the classroom, not by what's on Instagram and TikTok and all of that kind of stuff. It's in the Word of God. The light of God's truth is our guide and our stay. When we find ourselves walking in darkness and we have no light, and there'll be times like that in life, turn to God. And the implication is, He'll get you out of that darkness and He'll get you that light. But look at verse 11. What happens is we're going to provide our own light. Read with me verse 11. We're going to provide our own light. We're going to surround ourselves by our own guidance. "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire," that makes light, "that gird yourselves about with firebrands, walk ye in the flame of your fire and among the brands that you have kindled." This is almost a sarcastic remark. It's Isaiah saying, you need to turn to God, but you people, verse 11, you want to walk around providing your own light. And that happens today. But we're going to turn to the light of God's Word. We're also going to be patient. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? But we're going to be patient. We're going to wait. We live in such an instantaneous culture today because of our phones and other things. Boom, 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 boom. We got to have it right now. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm glad for a lot of the convenience things that we have. There are conveniences that we have today that are good, that speed up things. But God has a plan and has a purpose. And we need to wait and trust in the Lord. And so there's a number of passages here that mention the idea of waiting on the Lord all throughout the book of Isaiah. We're just going to focus on chapter 51 and verse 5, if you'll turn with me there, Isaiah 51 and verse 5, that puts waiting and trust together. But it means that when we need some answers and when we need some choices and some help, it may not be as instantaneous as just picking up your phone and, okay, God, you know, I trust in you, so give me a quick answer here. It may not work like that. And it may involve us being faithful each and every day, continuing to pray, continuing to read our Bible, continuing to come here and assemble, living a godly, faithful life, and in time, God fulfills His purpose and His plan. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. It's not going to be instantaneous every time that, you know, we just want God at our beck and call. Isaiah 51 in verse 5, "My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the peoples, the isles." Salvation was not just for the Jew, it was for all people. That's why I describe Isaiah sometimes as the gospel in the Old Testament. It's the gospel for all. "But the isles shall wait for me, and mine arm, and in my arm they shall trust." Trusting means waiting and being patient and letting God carry out His plans. Some young people wonder that with regard to dating and marriage. Be patient. Some young people wonder that with regard to their schooling and work and other kinds of things and having kids. Be patient. Just live right, act right, follow God's Word. Be patient. If it is a plan of God for your life, He will carry that out in His time frame. And then last of all, we need to believe. We need to believe. Believe means that we trust. And in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 9, when Ahaz is facing this external threat, Isaiah says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Believe. And in 28 and 43 and 51, belief comes up again, believing in God's word. Believe God. Belief is not just something you do right before being baptized. Belief is not just a step in the plan of salvation. Belief is a daily trust and confidence that God's way is right. That I believe that prayer works. I believe that the Word of God is the truth, the actual Word of God. I believe that when I'm supposed to be here with other brethren and I assemble, Hebrews 10, 20, 24 and 25, that's going to encourage me. I'm not going to forsake that. I believe these things. Belief is not just a step in the plan of salvation. Belief is a daily trust. And we actually show it in these ways that we've been talking about today. Let's go out with that admonition to trust in the Lord, because we see how easy it is, even for God's people, not to do that. We might summarize it this way. God is still present in our lives. He rules and reigns in heaven, but He's present everywhere. And I trust that. I trust in His person, that He is Almighty God, and there is none besides Him. There's a whole section in Isaiah that runs from 43, 44, 45, 46, that God is the one great, awesome God. There is no other God beside Him. And do I believe that? And do I carry that out in my life? And His providence. And then last of all, His pronouncements, His word. Do I follow His word each and every day? That's what it means to trust in the Lord. We're going to sing a song of invitation. You get an opportunity this morning to show that you really trust the Lord. If you'll come and obey, that shows that you really trust the Lord. Or as a child of God who needs to come back in some way, maybe you've left the Lord, you can show that you really trust Him by coming back. And when we go out this week, we can really show that we trust the Lord, because we're not going to have fear and be afraid. We're going to be at peace. And all these things that we talked about. When it comes time to make a choice, we're actually going to follow what the verse says rather than what I feel in my heart. That's how you actually show you trust the Lord. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to be patient. And I want to be obedient. Well, the song of invitation works out well with what we've talked about. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Not just words, not just happy sentiments, but show it in our life. And it is sweet. It is sweet. And those here this morning who have trusted their whole life, or a good part of it, they will tell you, amen, it is sweet to trust in Jesus. And we would encourage you to do the same. If we can help you to do that, why wouldn't you come as we stand and sing?